Hello and welcome to episode 35 of the Legendary Frogcast. I am your host, Joseph Blanchette, and we have three people with us today. As always, he's been like every episode. We have a Dustin Watts.
I haven't been in every episode, but I've been in a good majority.
You missed like two episodes.
I'm like three or four. Actually, it's about three or four. Every time you've talked about WoW, I've not been there.
Oh, yeah, every time you talk about WoW or a game you haven't played yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's like five or six. And we have the podcast regular Richard Farrow.
Hey, what's up?
He has his own plugin, his own podcast called The Plugin.
Yeah, I take some time out of recording my podcast and editing my podcast to, you know, come over here and talk with you guys.
He often steals Randy from us, but it's okay.
You'll never see him again.
Seriously, I miss Randy. We need to do a podcast with him.
We need a Railith back, too. We need a Kevin back.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, who knows what he's doing? He's playing Mahjong.
I'm in the process of stealing him as well.
Seriously, seriously. he is scarily obsessed with Mahjong.
And we have a newcomer to the podcast, a friend of mine and Casey's, Mark. What's your last name?
Schneider. It's German. How's it going, everybody?
Right there on your Skype thing. Yeah, it's Mark. He's actually the animator of the new movie that me and Casey are working on.
I'm the workhorse.
Didn't he go by the Fedora or something like that?
I have like six different names.
And we wanted Casey on here, but he's either doing stuff or sleeping.
Lazy bastard.
We just wanted to get this done. So we don't get delayed.
He might show up. He might not.
Who knows? Yeah. If I remember something he was going to say, I'll bring it up. But we wanted to. I wanted to talk about movie series and movies that end up being a trilogy or a trilogy plus one.
You have no idea how long Joey's been wanting to do this podcast.
Yeah, actually, I've been wanting to do it for a while. Just because, like, I just love continuity in movies. Like, I like it when the next movie, it ties in with the first one, and then there's an ending to it. And even though you can have a movie after it, it tells its contained story. And, like, I'm a real big fan of that. And I wanted Mark to be here because he's a big movie buff. He actually went to school for film design, right? Or took some classes.
I had some class. I minored in film, so I had a couple of really good classes.
Mm-hmm. And like me and Casey would be talking about some movie, and then he would just go off saying, "Yeah, this is symbolic of the director's desire to convey the color blue."
Exactly, that's exactly how it is. I can run.
Oh, Casey.
That or he loved his mothers.
You know, when we had him, like when he was on for the Lost finale podcast, I think that's probably like I think he and Ash are the reason that episode turned like ended up being 3 hours long.
Mark wasn't there.
Casey. Yeah. Casey knows a lot about that stuff too, and like we're actually trying to put stuff like that in our movies. Like once a new Flash Legend of the Legends of the Black Book is released. So you notice a few little symbolic things in the art or the way people talk and stuff like that.
Symbolism.
I got a chance. I got the chance to see it before anybody else.
Start one scene.
Symbolism.
So like we would be like, yeah, this scene could be symbolic of plants. But I guess welcome here, Mark.
Glad to be here.
Casey isn't here, like I said, but he might pop in if he shows up. So, do you guys want to do a what you've been doing, or you just want to jump right into it?
Let's do a what you've been doing.
Yeah, I'm really brief. Let's start with Dustin. What have you been doing?
Well, depending on how soon this ends, I just recorded that part. I just recorded the Mega Man Part 3, so that's pretty much what I've been doing. I've also been trying not to die from heat sickness because it's like 100 plus degrees here and I have no air conditioning. Oh, and I tried to read Atlas Shrugged and utterly failed because it is the most boring, well, not the most boring, but it's dang near close to being the most boring book I've ever read. So, yeah, that, and I finally caught up on True Blood, which, if you haven't watched True Blood, go watch that awesome series.
Well, watch out, there's nudity.
Yes, it's an it's on HBO, so yeah, there's plenty of the TNA.
It's on HBO, of course there's stuff like that on there.
What about you, Rich? What are you going to do?
Let's see, I went to the premiere, like the, of The Karate Kid at my local theater.
How was
and
that?
It was actually pretty decent. For those of you who listen to the plug-in, you'll know that if you listen to that episode, I got berated for actually liking the movie, even though I was the only person that in the show that actually went and saw it. So, you know, I just don't get them sometimes.
It actually looks pretty good. Like, I'm glad it's just not a remake, like a shot-for-shot remake of a.
It's darn near close.
It's close, but like the premise is different, right?
Not, you know, here's the thing. They call it The Karate Kid. I think the only real difference in that movie is the fact that they're learning Kung Fu and it's in China. And that, you know, the main character's black. But that, like, apart from that, everything, every aspect of the original film is implanted in this new one. Mm-hmm. Literally, because, now, here's the thing. I did not see the original Karate Kid before watching this new Karate Kid. And I thought it was a decent movie. Now that I've watched the original, I watched the original Karate Kid yesterday, and I now realize that the original is 100 times better than the new one. So,
even though it has the same story, the original just handles it better.
Yeah.
That was Jackie Chan in that. They do a good job as acting.
Yeah, I'd say he did a good job. I think he's probably one of the more talented actors in that entire movie.
Yeah, I could have told you that.
We could probably do an entire podcast about remakes and reboots of series.
Jackie Chan.
Or Jackie Chan.
Jackie Chan podcast.
The Jackie know. Cast.
Jackie Cast.
Yeah,
we could probably get him on here if we ask nice enough.
You're kind of like an internet phenomenon, James. Like,
hey, Jackie, you used to be a good action star. I used to be a good animator. So that will be a show. I kid, we're both pretty good.
I wonder, I would like to see Joey fight Jackie Chan.
Must know how to fight, but I wonder if we start to fight and he starts to pull all his punches and look at us all and stuff. And like, where's my wire team?
Oh wow! All right, let's
Mark, are you doing anything?
The short run, I've been moving furniture. In the long run, I've been trying to get Casey to finish up all the stuff on Legends. That's about it.
And we'll probably do a short show when like that's ready to release, and we can talk about the process of doing that movie and what we have planned. Legends of the Black Boot. Legends of the Black Book
Black Boot? Is that the sequel?
we're going to make a spin-off series where instead of a book, it's different types of media.
And the team name is Toonworks. That's what the new name we're going under. But we'll talk about that in a later show. And I beat the Tales of Monkey Island. It was very good. I am very excited that Telltale Games is making a Back to the Future Jurassic Park game. I love that.
They're making a Jurassic Park / Back to the Future game?
I wish it was the same
game. That'd be awesome.
But no, it's a episodic game based on Back to the Future, another one based on Jurassic Park.
Interesting.
Yeah. And like, they just announced it like a few days ago, so that's all we know. And
for those of us unsavvy folks, can you tell us some other games that they have made that are good?
Telltale?
Tell us of Monkey Island. Sam & Max Seasons 1, 2, and 3. Strong Bad's game for Beautiful People, I think it is.
Traffic People. And
interesting.
Made a Wallace and Gromit game and a CSI game.
And also
Telltale is a company that kind of takes old franchises that are kind of like out of the public eye, and they kind of reinvent them.
Okay.
And they most of them are like adventure games. So and they're made mostly of ex LucasArts people.
Interesting.
So So, like, Sam and Max, they brought back a few years ago, and they did three seasons of it. So, basically, like, 15 episodes of Sam and Max. And last year, they did Monkey Island, and they did a game for Strong Bad. And they do a pretty good job, so I'm excited about all that.
Nice.
And I'm playing Half-Life 2. Apparently, the port of Source on a Macintosh is not good, because the game didn't run well. And ironically, my 7-year-old PC runs the game perfectly. So I've been playing that. It's pretty cool to like kind of put on my time goggles and say, man, this must have been awesome 4 or 5 years ago. And it's still pretty cool how it tells the story without any cutscenes and all that. Mm. Half-Life. But, right, enough about that. Okay, so... movie trilogies. I already mentioned why I like them. I guess you can't really say, so what do you like about movie series, Justin? We kind of talk about, like, why they're made, and the obvious reason is to make money.
Money, dear people.
But kind of the context of why they want to make the like serious movies is usually different. And that's usually what's interesting. Like I might like to look at the movies and say, well, do they tell one continuous story or are they just kind of like episodic like movies where like one's really not related to the other?
And you can really like categorize them based on that. Cause when I look at film series, I tend to categorize them as either A, they were meant to be a film series, like, or they were meant to be like a trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
B, they all have different stories. Each film is like almost episodic in the way that like the story is built upon it. And then you have the other film where like the first film kind of is compact in its own little story, and then the other films kind of build upon each other because like the company realized, oh my gosh, this first movie did so well, we should build on it. Mm-hmm. So usually that third one isn't so good because like Pirates of the Caribbean is an example of that.
We'll debate that because that's
yeah.
But yeah, like it, sometimes you get like mixes of all of them. So I have a list here, and if you want, I can paste it in our Skype chat.
There ain't no Skype chat.
Why not?
Because you have an old version of Skype because you're on the Mac.
Are you sure you can't see this?
One sec.
You can see that?
I see. I see it.
Yeah.
Popped up in a separate window.
Ooh. Okay, so I have this list here.
Actually, no, I can't see that.
Well, then you won't see it then. It's horribly organized, so... but we're not going to talk about the movies per se. Like, what we... or but we'll talk about what we liked about how they connect with each other and their strengths and their weaknesses. So first one on the list, I have Austin Powers, but I think we can agree they just kind of made that just to be a funny movies and
stuff.
It's not the self-contained trilogy; it's just sequel. They happen to be really good.
And I hear that they're actually making a fourth one. So
are they?
I've been hearing that for years, so I don't know how true that is.
And this, they keep on saying that they're going to make a Ghostbusters, but that doesn't seem to be happening.
I didn't put that on the list. But
actually, that is happening.
Like that's filming in a couple months, I think.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Mike Myers needs Austin Powers because his career, unfortunately, is just Shrek and, like, bad movies.
And then there's The Love Guru. Yeah. Oh, wait. We're supposed to forget it, but that movie ever happened.
I can easily do that. In fact, I would love to do that.
So let's start out with, I think, was one of the best trilogies, is a Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah. That wasn't...
at least the first two movies in that series were good.
Wait. You don't like three?
I don't know. It's just, you know, the Western thing. Like, they suddenly switched from a science fiction series to a Western. I don't know. It's just, it didn't...
It was a decent Western, though. Like, if you watched it on your own, or without... in context the other two, probably a decent movie.
Well, because the structure of the series is like one kind of a little bit in the past, one is in the future, and one is way in the past. So I guess cause, I guess because the future was still kind of like modern day. Like when you go back 100 years, it's such like a big jump in a like an atmosphere.
Yeah. And you get like Doc Brown went all steampunk.
Yeah. And it kind of keeps on, it kind of touches with the idea that regardless of the time frame, like people kind of act the same throughout the, like, because one of the big things in Back to the Future is the whole concept of repetition.
Yeah.
Like you'll have the exact same scene acted out in all three films, only in different time periods, which I think is hilarious.
Oh, yeah, great running gag with those scenes.
Something else was the little details that you see in like some of the in the movies. It's like for one of the biggest ones that always fucked me was, okay, right at the beginning of the movie, right when he first time travel, he's on this, at the Twin Pine Mall. He travels back in time. He's at this farm, and he's running into these two pine trees, and he runs one of them down. Fast forward to the end of the movie, he's back in the future again, and lo and behold, it's now the Lone Pine Mall.
And something similar at the end of the third movie, like the big ravine used to be called Clayton Ravine, because that's where the school teacher died. But since they saved her, and then they knew that Clint Eastwood is what Marty named himself. Excuse me. He named himself Clint Eastwood, and he like robbed that train. And the train fell off the cliff. So in the future, it's called Clint Eastwood Ravine. So
that movie's probably just full of those things. I feel bad for the people who did continuity on those movies.
Yeah. So this is the example of the single movie that did well, and they made sequels out of it.
I think they knew it was going to do well beforehand.
I don't know
because they threw in the to be continued in there. So
well, here's the thing, like they put the thing where like the DeLorean flies and they go, "We have to go save your kids, Marty." That was just a joke. And the original printing of the movie doesn't have the to be continued there.
It's really?
Yeah, it just says it's when they like brought it on video and they decided like to do more of them that they added that onto there.
Oh, okay.
I like that final line in the movie where he's like, "Where we're going, we don't need roads."
And he flips down those goggles and then the DeLorean flies.
Yeah, like I like that as a trilogy because because it's kind of an arc for Doc Brown throughout the entire thing where Marty's just kind of along for the ride for a lot of it.
Well, I don't know because I think it was more like it centered around Marty because you see usually in films, the main character is the one that changes the most throughout the story. And like Doc kind of remains consistent throughout the story while Marty he's sort of growing up throughout it. Like, you know,
especially once they decide to make a series, like for part two, he's kind of even kind of more of a, like kind of more, immature.
Yeah.
Because like the, thing where he doesn't like be called a chicken, like it didn't exist in the first movie. They just kind of retroactively added that like into the second.
I would actually argue that this is good because they had enough main characters that they could flip in each movie which character is the one that learns something, which one makes that change. I would even argue in the first one, and I should probably go back and watch it again just so I could confirm or deny this, but I would say in the first one is actually George McFly
who makes the first one was really his dad is when it changes.
Yeah. And so when they go to the second one, they can easily, I believe the second one would probably Marty. And the third one's definitely Doc Brown.
Even though they made a cartoon series about it, all that, like the series ends at the third one because the DeLorean is destroyed, but I guess they have the flying time traveling train.
Which is possibly the most awesome thing ever.
It would have been great if he flying into the camera and like, "Where we're going, we don't need tracks."
So speaking of tracks, I got nothing. I was gonna try and connect it to Aliens, but you know.
Yeah, so I have Aliens and Predator. In my mind I kinda see these as the same series, but they're kinda not.
Yeah.
So we have this is a franchise series, like most definitely, because Yeah. At least for Alien, each one had a different director.
If only James Cameron had stuck around for a fifth one, because that was what was going to happen. James Cameron was planning on directing Alien 5, but it didn't end up happening.
What's going back to Ridley Scott? Which is weird.
Yeah, that should be interesting. But, I mean, like, the reason James Cameron didn't end up doing another one was because of the whole concept that they were making they were doing Alien vs. Predator, and James Cameron said, you know what, that's going to ruin the series. I don't want to have anything to do with it now.
It kind of, even though I like those movies well enough, they definitely nailed the coffin in the series. I think these reboots and sequels and stuff are going to be, like, they got to work. If they don't work, these franchises are dead.
Yeah, hoping that this reboot that Ridley Scott is directing, which is kind of like a prequel to the series. I'm really hoping that kind of revitalizes the series, because I mean, it looks promising. Supposedly H.R. Giger is designing it like a whole new alien design for this movie.
It's just so weird for the original director of the first movie to come back to a franchise, which is just kind of sucks now, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, isn't that what happened with the Dawn of the Dead or Day of the Dead? One of those.
Well, no, George A. Romero keeps on directing each one of those.
Yeah, okay. He just keeps on making them. Cecily knows how to do.
It's like because he's got nothing else to do. He's just you know.
So Alien kind of has a story arc with Ripley.
Yeah.
That kind of ended with the third one, but it went on to a fourth one.
Interesting little tidbit. Joss Whedon actually did the original script for the fourth Aliens movie. And,
really?
Yeah, and here's the thing. If you ever – you can't mention it to him. He actually breaks down into tears, everyone, anytime because he is so just distraught about how bad that movie turned out.
And it
– How much it raped his script.
It ended the movie franchise for like 10 years or whatever, 8 years.
Wasn't there like a 10-year difference between Alien and Aliens? Like when they made it?
It's like 6 or 8 years, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Aliens is the best one in the series, in my opinion. But, I mean, they should have just ended it there. It would have been perfectly fine if they just left them sleeping in those pods and have Newt and Ripley live happily ever after. But no! The ship had to crash onto a planet where people with two Y chromosomes tell Ripley that Newt and all of her friends that survived are dead, and then that one guy who's a robot tells her that there's an alien and like that was on the ship, and then everyone's like, oh no, the aliens are back, what are we gonna do?
I actually like Alien 3 a good bit, especially the director's cut, but yeah, Alien is an example of a franchise where the studio and the screenwriters just ruined it.
Yeah. I had for Alien 3, I believe that was David Fincher.
Yeah.
Who directed it? Who did Fight Club?
Yeah, and he refused to be on the when they did the improperly named Aliens quadrilogy box set. Like, he refused to have anything to do with any of it.
Because he had
such a bad experience with the movie.
Yeah.
With the studio stuff. And kind of related to that is a. Oh, you want to talk? Anything else?
I was just asking, what was the correct name for the quadrilogy?
Tetralogy, I think.
Tetralogy.
Tetralogy.
Yeah, we'll find out.
I think they should keep that name, like when they do like the Blu-ray movies. I think they should just keep quadrilogy.
It should be interesting. I would definitely enjoy watching Aliens on Blu-ray, but you know.
Yeah.
Aliens remains one of my favorite films.
Yep, definitely.
And
moving on,
Predator. I don't really have a lot to say about Predator. It's actually a movie franchise that just didn't really go anywhere after the second one.
Yeah.
It found more success in comic books, and it's really one. I think Alien versus Predator, like the video games and the comic books, like that's really where the Predators like
shined.
Yeah, like really started to shine.
Yeah. Yep. The game, especially probably. Probably more people remember the video games by Rebellion, the first video game by Rebellion Studios, which the new one they did is pretty much the first one, but with a little modern shine to it.
And the Alien vs. Predator movies, I would argue, are are Predator movies, but with aliens in them.
Yeah.
And squishy humans. Because
you're like usually rooting for the Predators.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, anyone who's rooting for like the aliens has like a personality disorder.
And anybody who roots for the humans is a moron.
And they're making a sequel that comes out in a month or so, Predators, which is kind of a sequel to the original movie. It doesn't really take anything else into continuity.
Just playing on Alien and Aliens instead of just doing Predator 2.
Predator 3.
Yeah, I think now that has promise, that new Predator movie.
Okay, I think a lot of words are going to be said about this next one.
Wait, actually, I would. Hold on, there was something. There was this movie series that I just remembered that we probably need to talk about. And what was it? It was.
What do you think about it? But we'll go on.
Yeah.
Just type in the chat if you remember it.
Yeah. Spider-Man.
I don't want to think about it.
Spider-Man 1,
good. Spider-Man 2, awesome. Spider-Man 3.
So I would say this is a movie that they never really had plans for the three movies, but they still were able to keep a story arc throughout the entire thing.
I'll tell you, I would have preferred an animated film of Spider-Man, now for those of you who've read Ultimate Spider-Man, like imagine like an animated adaptation of like the first, first 12 issues of Ultimate Spider-Man. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Why?
It would be great, but no, they decided that they're gonna have this one guy who played the main character in Kick-Ass play him in this new Spider-Man movie that they're making. Is totally unnecessary. They don't need to make another one.
Well, we'll mention that, but let's take out of this conversation how much Spider-Man 3 was flawed and had a lot of bad things about it. Just focus on the story that it told, okay? Okay, yeah. Okay, guys?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Okay.
Spider-Man 3 sucks.
I think okay, now that's out of the way. I liked it. I like all these movies that you hate. Like, I don't really hate movies, but... Spider-Man tells a pretty good story about Peter and Harry, I think, and their like relationship with each other, and Harry's rise and fall, and Peter's rise and fall, and rise again, and fall again.
I think when you think about it, Harry is what Peter could have turned into, and that in the end, Peter is the one who came out, like, you know, winning. But, you know, in a way you could argue against that, because in the third film, Harry ends up helping him out, and he ends up dying like a noble death. He ends up like sacrificing himself
Peter's the one who has to pick up all the pieces of all the crap he caused.
Yeah.
Even though his descent into darkness wasn't really that dramatic.
Yeah, all he really did was like dance around.
Yeah, he's acting like a douche for a while.
I think that was like the funniest part of that movie.
It's the thing people hate though, is just how silly Peter was in that movie.
I didn't see the third one, but did he just come off as a completely separate character? That's the vibe I got from the trailer.
Kind of.
But that's kind of how it always was in the series. Like when he suddenly had this suit and he acted the way he did when he had the suit, he just didn't even, it was like out of character entire time.
And the third is a little weird because like the suit is an alien. It's an alien being. And like that seemed just seemed weird in the context of the other movies. And like,
yeah.
And like, so why is Peter being such a jerk? Well, it's because of the symbiote. It's like, well, symbiotes are kind of stupid.
Now I hate to bring it back to the Ultimate series, but I think the way that they did it in that series would have been a whole lot better, because in the Ultimate series the symbiont thing was actually designed by Peter's dad as a way to cure cancer, and it was like a black suit that would help like heal your body, and it turned out to.
I'm surprised they didn't do something like that, because we all know like Sam Raimi, he didn't like Venom. The studio basically made him put it in there.
Yeah.
And like, I was surprised that they just like blatantly went Yeah, it's an alien that came from a little meteor that fell. But I guess they just didn't have like the story time to devote to who was ever developing the symbiote suit. I don't know.
Yeah.
So they were going to make Spider-Man 4, directed by Raimi, but apparently there was more disagreements about that, and Sammy said, "No, I'm not doing it." So they're actually rebooting the franchise. But
it seems way too soon to just to do that.
Yeah, like,
yeah, I agree.
I think they just. Like part of it is they need to keep making Spider-Man films, or else they like lose the rights to it. Maybe they'll go back to Marvel Studios if it stops.
Okay.
I really hope it doesn't turn into that, because then they're going to start making movies like the Street Fighter Legend of Chun-Li on the level of Spider-Man, and that would just be a waste. It would be such a shame.
It seems too soon, but it could be an interesting new take on the movie, but like just like normal audiences, Spider-Man was a huge franchise. Like what is the average person going to say when they say, well, this isn't what's this? But I just skipped halfway down the list and like I didn't even realize it. Oops.
Yeah, it's like I was wondering because we're about to go to Shrek and I was like, wait, Spider-Man? What is that all about?
Sorry, but while we're talking about superheroes, any thoughts on X-Men?
X-Men was good. I the first one I didn't like. Second one I thought was awesome. The third one was decent. And the whole way that they're doing it now with the movies are now like more like origin stories of each character.
Well, I think now they're just doing the reboot stuff. Like I think the next X-Men is going to be a First Class, which is going to be I think a whole new cast out of continuity with the other movies.
And which, then there's I think it's too soon.
And then there's the movie that everyone has always been waiting for, the Deadpool movie,
the Deadpool trilogy.
But that has nothing to do with series, Dustin.
I think a Deadpool is like a self referential enough, whatever, that he would name the movie the Deadpool trilogy and just be one movie.
You know, interesting question. Where do spin-offs fit in this whole thing that we're talking about?
Well, we don't really have to talk about that, but like, maybe like a Deadpool isn't a spin-off. It's a completely unique.
I would consider this new the X-Men Origins Wolverine. I would consider that a spin-off rather than anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of. I think they were hoping that would become its own series, but I think it underperformed.
Yeah.
And it got panned by critics. So I don't know if they're going to do another one.
Yeah, I saw bits and pieces of it. It was not any good for what I saw.
It was okay. We actually did an entire podcast about that movie, but it got lost.
The lost episode.
Yeah. Thank Randy for that. X-Men is kind of like Spider-Man, but with a lack of direction near the end of it.
Yeah.
I never really thought X-Men was that greatest series anyway, the first two movies that I saw. Like they weren't bad movies. I just didn't think they were fantastic.
The main problem with the X-Men movies is it kind of fell into the ultimate version of what happened to the other X-Men comics. They played up Wolverine too much.
That was okay in X2.
Yeah. I didn't think that was too bad in X1. I don't know what it was about it. I just didn't feel it was amazing.
Well, the problem was with the X3 is they had the focus on Wolverine, and then X3 wasn't about Wolverine.
So, it was about Jean.
Yeah, it was just kind of Wolverine was just kind of there.
Yeah. On a tangent, has anybody seen that those animations on Newgrounds of X-Men, of like the X-Men comics? And they're made by that one guy who draws them in such a way that like they're only floating hands and
like
those and they kill Jean in every single like one of their episodes.
I haven't seen those.
All right, continuing on. This is one of I used to love this series of Shrek.
Is a perfect example of a series that has gone way too long.
Did anyone actually see Shrek Forever After?
No.
No. I didn't waste my time.
Neither did we.
Yeah, didn't they plan like 8 movies overall for the series? Like the couple main ones and then the several spinoffs like Puss in Boots and a couple of the other ones. That's 8 movies. That's,
I think they realized it was ridiculous, so this is supposed to be the last one.
I hope.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be. They'll come back at some point. They'll
considering
make it
how it performed, yeah, I think it is the last one.
Yeah, so Shrek 1 was a good movie. Shrek 2 is a really good movie.
Yeah, I think Shrek 2 was better than the first one.
Yeah.
Shrek 3 was horrible.
Yeah, so then...
Oh, come on.
Shrek 3, even the guy that says, oh, that wasn't so bad. I came out of Shrek 3 going, like, what happened to the series? It's like...
You see, this is the one time me and Joey are in agreement.
Yeah.
What the hell happened?
I'll say again, like, I like parts of Shrek 3. I think everyone likes parts of Shrek 3.
But
especially with an animated movie, I mean, you just can't shoot. It's not like they just made a bad movie live action. You can do that in a few months. It takes years to make these animated movies. And it just breaks my heart when they spend all that time on a series that was so good before and it just not be very good.
I think DreamWorks Animation...
Yeah, like I'm hoping Shrek 4 is an improvement, and from what I heard, it is an improvement. But
not so much.
Yeah, DreamWorks is really inconsistent. Like they can make great movies like Kung Fu Panda and How to Train Your Dragon, but then they have movies like Monsters vs. Aliens and whatever else
in 3D.
Oh
no!
Speaking of How to Train Your Dragon. We have this new series. We had this other series right after Shrek called How to Train Your Jedi.
This is actually 2 trilogies. Ooh. So the original Star Wars trilogy, George Lucas actually had the whole thing planned out. And when he got the money to make Star Wars, he said, listen, I'll take less of a profit on this movie. You give me all the toy profit and the ability to make 2 more movies.
And they're like, sure.
Yeah, like they figured if you would do bad, like they would be forced into 2 other low-budget sci-fi movies.
What could possibly go wrong?
What could possibly go right, you wonder? Well, the toy sales pretty much blew everyone out of the water. It made ridiculous amounts of money. Unfortunately, the only people who made money were was George Lucas, the studios, and Sir Alec Guinness.
And George Lucas's turkey chin, which I think has got like a mind of its own.
But yeah, the only actor on that movie who made any money was Sir Alec Guinness, because he was the only one at the time who was union.
He got a percentage of the profits.
He got a 1%. So, he got it was like 1%, but still 1% of ungodly amount.
It was what I believe the gross was at least in America or in the U.S. release was 1.41 billion on adjusted for inflation, which totally beats the pants off Avatar and Titanic domestic.
Honestly. That movie made ridiculous amounts of money. If Star Wars hadn't happened, the movie industry probably wouldn't be as big as it is now.
I mean, we could talk forever about Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we really need to talk about
the trilogy aspects of them.
Yeah, because everyone knows Star Wars. But it was kind of like the first, even though it wasn't, it was kind of like the first like big trilogy, you know.
At the time, it was the highest grossing film ever made.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
But I mean, like, how many movie series back then where the director said, "Okay, I have 3 movies in mind. It's going to tell 1 story throughout 3 movies."
But didn't he have 6 movies in mind? But then he realized he couldn't make the first 3.
Well, I mean, he had
12 actually. Peter Mayhew who played Chewbacca. He was contracted for 12 movies.
Are you serious?
From what I've heard, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, so he didn't, like, have all the scripts written. I believe he probably just had, like, the ideas planned out.
Yeah.
And, of course, if you've ever seen the original drafts of Star Wars, they're really nothing like how the movie turned out to be. So those could have been, like, the 12 12 parts could have been based on the original story before everything, you know, where the main character is still Anakin Starkiller.
Has he talked at all about what the third trilogy was about? Was it just world?
What I've heard was I think the Emperor is resurrected or cloned or something, or he didn't die. They find Luke's hand at the bottom of the Cloud City ventilation shaft or wherever it got cut off.
That was the basis of a series of books.
Okay.
They cloned Luke, and there was an old a Jedi, an old Sith Lord or something that was in hiding.
There's always somebody in hiding in that series.
There's always somebody hiding.
Let's just hope it doesn't happen, or at least before George Lucas is gone.
Yeah, I mean, George Lucas, I think...
Let's talk about the prequel trilogies, because Lucas was, I think, a brilliant film... Well, he was a brilliant filmmaker, but the prequel trilogy just doesn't reflect that.
He works better when he is not the director.
He is, yeah. If for anybody who doesn't know, I'm sure everybody knows this, but Irvin Kershner was the one who directed Empire Strikes Back, and Richard Marquand did most of Return of the Jedi, though I think George Lucas had more of a hand on Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, because he wasn't really skilled with special effects.
Yeah.
Lucas, what about the Christmas special?
we try not
to think about that.
Yeah, we don't try to think about that, because frankly, having seen it, it's horrible.
So the prequel trilogy, we can argue, didn't have a good beginning, had an okay middle, and had a pretty good end.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I personally think that The Phantom Menace wasn't that bad. I think that the Attack of the Clones was, it wasn't as good. I think it wasn't really a fantastic Star Wars. In my opinion, it's the worst in the series. And then I think Revenge of the Sith was the best of the prequel series. But I can understand what people how people feel about it, and how people will say, "Oh, this is the worst thing that ever happened to the Star Wars universe." I don't know. I think for the most part, they were pretty decent.
I would argue that, I would say that none of the new trilogy movies are at all unwatchable. I could sit through them. I won't enjoy some of them. I'd actually argue that the Phantom Menace is probably the best out of the three. And I know that sounds weird, but if you go back and just watch each of the movies, I think the Phantom Menace has the least amount of bullcrap in it. Being CGI, being storyline, being just dialogue, it feels the most like an actual movie. I went back and watched Star Wars Episode 3 not too long ago. It feels like it could have just been animated. It's like there was bad dialogue, bad framing and camera angles, everything like that, and it just didn't feel like anybody tried.
They could have just thrown a pod race in there, and it would have been a whole lot better.
Yeah.
Story-wise, I'm not really think Episode 1 was the best place to start all that.
I agree.
The story, yeah.
I agree.
I think it should have started with the beginning of the Clone Wars. Episode 2 would have been the Clone Wars, but Anakin falls at the very end. And Episode 3 should have been almost all Darth Vader.
I never really thought about Episode 3 being all Darth Vader. I did really hate how him turning to the dark side happened in about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Episode 3. And that should have been the whole build up through the whole movie.
There's a really funny animation online that I keep referencing that, but there's this really funny one where it's the scene where Mace Windu is killed by the Emperor, and Anakin helps him out, slices off his hand. He's like, "No, what have I done?" And then the Emperor's like, "Join me," and he's like, okay,
sure. Episode 3, I think, the last act of Episode 3 is really good.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, that was it. I thought it was really good, and I wish the rest of the movies were more like that.
Mm-hmm. But if we go back to the original Star Wars trilogy real quick and talk about the story of that one.
Yeah.
And that goes back to what I was saying about Back to the Future, where you have enough of the characters that who the main character is can jump around a little bit and still stays interesting. And this was actually something that was pointed out to me in one of my film classes, is that you basically have the main character and you have the teacher. In the first one, main character was Luke, the second one, and the teacher was Obi-Wan. In the second one, the main character was Luke and the teacher was actually Darth Vader. In the third one, the main character was Darth Vader and the teacher was Luke.
I would kind of say, what about Yoda? Wouldn't you say that Yoda is the teacher?
I thought that too, but he teaches him to be a Jedi. He doesn't teach him to make the transition that the character needs to make. So Yoda is a teacher, but he's not the one that's helping the character make the big transition.
That's what's missing.
That's what's missing from the prequel.
Definitely.
It's just a special effects movie, pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But I was gonna say, this is why on Dagobah, when he goes into the tree and fights Darth Vader, and that's the point of where the character fails. So that's how you pretty much could tell that Darth Vader, even though it wasn't really him there, was pretty much the teacher in the movie.
Wow. Yeah. So
deep, man, it's real deep.
Speaking of George Lucas, let's move on to the guy with the fedora. You know, what's his name again?
The other guy with the fedora. Fandora.
Fandora.
Pandora.
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 Like it.
Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones is a perfect example of
a franchise.
A good mm-hmm. series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Overall.
Well, for the most part, for 75% of it.
Yeah.
maybe 80, 85.
I think that okay. Crystal Skull was actually pretty decent.
Crystal Skull is like two movies.
Yeah.
Like the good Indiana Jones movie and then the kind of weird one.
Yeah.
So Indiana Jones is it's like a serial. It's like each one's pretty self-contained. Even though and there is kind of a little bit of a character development throughout all of it, like definitely in the third one.
Mm-hmm. I think with the third one, it was Spielberg. It was like a perfect movie for Spielberg because it was really just father son. It was a father son movie, and the relationship between them, and that's always been a theme in Spielberg movies because of I believe his parents divorced when he was young, and so it pulled back up. It just made perfect movie for him to make.
Yeah, and I think when you think about it, it seems more like it's his dad. It's his father that is doing most of the growing up in the series in that one movie.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because I think Indy kind of pretty much stays the same, like, or just stays consistent. But it's the father that ends up realizing that he didn't put enough time in care into his son when he was putting so much care into, like, all of his studies and, like, for this the Holy Grail, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's definitely.
Yep. And then, of course, you have, like, the awesome riding into the distance, like, riding into the sunset. And, you know, I think it would probably, like, it would have been better if they just ended it there. But, you know, it's Hollywood. Of course they're going to make a sequel. So now we've got Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Well, it's not Hollywood. It was George Lucas.
George Lucas.
I have, you know what? The one scene that everyone seemed to have a problem with, I didn't, was Andy being in the fridge during a nuclear explosion. I thought
that was pretty cool.
That was awfully convenient.
I thought it was okay up until the part where he survived.
Everything's convenient. What, you expect him to die? End credits? That's all the movie was?
It was just like, it was great up until he was alive, and my brain was like, wait, that can't happen at all. Not even in an Indiana Jones movie.
Well, maybe one day when we're caught in World War III and we see a fridge.
Have you seen some of those old fridges? They were built like tanks.
Yes, but have you ever seen like somebody in a fridge get thrown, like, you know, a couple hundred yards? They don't survive, generally.
I'll tell you what, man. When the nuclear holocaust comes and bombs fall all around, I will jump into my fridge. And once it lands, I will call you up on Skype and I will be like, ha!
Like, ha, you the remains of the Legendary Frogcast.
Like, oh, it's live.
Now. Yeah, like Crystal Skull, like mentioned earlier, I might want to do a film a commentary because there's a lot to be said about like about it. I didn't mind all the alien stuff until the UFO showed up.
Yeah.
I think what really killed it was all the special effects, which were never really was a big thing about.
Well, Crystal Skull didn't really have a lot of over the top special effects, even though.
Oh, come on! What about the CGI gerbils? The CGI. Well, I mean the CGI prairie dogs at the beginning.
Well, I mean, yeah, but they weren't like lightsaber fighting or anything. They were just in the scene. It was used to enhance the environment, not necessarily make crazy crap happen.
If you look in the background, you'll see two prairie dogs fighting with lightsabers. You have to pay a lot of attention. It's like in the first 3 minutes.
Okay. Gotcha.
All right.
Okay. Pirates of the Caribbean.
That was a good first movie and not so good second and third movies.
I think the Pirates of the Caribbean series is just two movies. They just split the second movie into two parts.
Yeah. And I think the second part had the least amount of important content in it.
Yeah.
And actually, there's going to be a fourth movie and
quadrilogy.
From the hype on that is actually looking pretty good because it's going to be based on Stranger Tides, which kind of retroactively kind of makes it like a neat little circle because the original Pirates of the Caribbean ride was actually based on a book called On Stranger Tides, and now they're making a Pirates of the Caribbean movie based on that same book. So it's all
interesting.
So, Pirates 1 was a self-contained story. They had no idea there was going to be sequels, and I really liked it. And I liked how when they did make sequels, they very cleverly made everything in the first movie relevant. And like it didn't ruin any continuity. They kept little hints that they dropped in the first movie. They were able to expand on it in a good way.
Yeah.
Because the entire thing with the father character, I mean, that was all set up in the first movie, but like didn't give you any details about it. But in like the second one, they were able to perfectly expand on it, still have it a tie-in with the larger story. So as you know, they were both made at the same time. So yeah, like part two and three just like feel like two parts of the same movie.
I mean, I think a lot of trilogies nowadays are made that way, where they get they instead of saying greenlighting a sequel, they greenlight the next two movies in a trilogy, and then they just write them together.
Yeah.
So you'll see that a lot with a couple of the first movie will have its own self-contained thing, and then the second two will feel that way.
Mm-hmm. Let's speed things up a little bit here. Pirates of the Caribbean is both a story-driven franchise, a trilogy, but also kind of more of a franchise because it had its story arc. But I think they can continue to make the movies even after all that.
Yeah. If they were to do it in an episodic form, like the same way they did with Indiana Jones, that would probably be better off than just kind of having like an overarching story.
I think that's kind of what it will become, but like part two and three just kind of feel like the same story.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, how about that Jurassic Park?
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, I like the sound of that.
Okay, so Jurassic Park, based on books.
By the late.
That is the film that made me fall in love with dinosaurs.
It's my favorite movie.
Based on books written by the late, great Michael Crichton. Well, I wouldn't say great, but the late Michael Crichton.
So, it's kind of unique how these movies were made because Steven Spielberg is friends with Michael Crichton. And he started doing the screenplay for Jurassic Park while he was writing the book, and like the same thing with The Lost World. Although The Lost World might have been completed when he started working on it, but so those two movies aren't really connected per se, But they still kind of tell a story about what InGen was doing with the dinosaurs. And it was interesting enough. Then the third movie just totally
jumped off a cliff.
Like, yeah. Oh, adventure movie. Let's just make an action movie.
And then Michael Crichton died. And
I think he died after watching that movie. Kind of just walked. Yeah. Kind of just stepped outside and keeled over.
I would even say that the first Jurassic Park is an adventure movie. I'd say it's closer to like the monster movie genre, just not, you know, big Godzilla monster.
I actually like Jurassic Park 3 is a good, just a good old action movie. I mean, it's not really bad per se, but it has a lot of hints of kind of evil goings on at InGen, but it's like never expanded upon. Because like they, I find this like basically where they're like breeding the dinosaurs, you can kind of tell like what were they up to here? They're doing something weird, and like when they see the Spinosaurus, they're like, I don't remember seeing that guy on InGen list. He's like, he wasn't on the list. What else are they up to? And like the raptors are like super smart and all that, but they never expand on any of that. And like, there's no villain in the story, and it's just ends the Jurassic Park trilogy on just irrelevant note.
Yeah. And now they want to make another one, which is a huge mistake. It's just, why do they keep on doing this?
Especially with Michael Crichton being dead.
No, yeah, they're tortured. Like, yeah, Michael Crichton's going to be turning in his grave.
They could use him to the power of a few states. But
would you rather them do it when he's alive and can watch it?
Well,
yeah.
I'm optimistic about it because I think they saw that Jurassic Park 3, like, most of the fans don't like it that much. So like, the reason why it's been in development hell for so long is they're trying to get it right. Like, I know that there's been many scripts that's been rejected for this movie, including one where the dinosaurs are hired by the military and they put guns on them.
Yeah.
But,
That would be like G-Force, only with dinosaurs.
It would be like a Dino Riders. But, yeah, like, I think that at this point, they know Jurassic Park 4 has to be good. So,
it at least can only be a step up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like I said, I like Jurassic Park 3. I'm just very disappointed by it, on the way that it handled the franchise.
It just turned into them running away. It just turned into them running away from the T-Rex in the third one. That's really all.
Well,
the Raptors.
Spinosaurus, yeah. Like, I mean, overall, it has more action than the other two movies combined. But that's all it has.
Yeah. The first movie doesn't have that much action. It's more suspense.
Yeah. I was actually surprised. I rewatched all the movies the other week.
I think we should move on, though.
Yeah, speaking of franchises.
You like Jurassic Park, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm the one who said let's move faster here. All
right.
Yeah.
Let's try to keep like each one under 2.5 minutes. How about that?
That's not happening.
Same thing happened with the movie podcast. We just kept talking.
Well, if I start feeling that we're going on too long, I'll say something.
So we have two kind of franchises here. The Batman of the 80s and 90s. And the newer Batmans by what's his butt?
Which perfectly, well, when you think about it, it perfectly reflects the style of action films of each time period. Because I mean, in the 2000s, you start getting like these super intense, like serious action movies, and back then you kind of had like more of a lighter tone to the action.
Well, I mean, the original Batman was a little bit dark.
The original Batman was downright grim and gruesome.
Mm-hmm. This is an example of how a franchise has changed over the course of its lifetime.
Yeah, I think the first Batman movie was kind of, wasn't that about the same time that the Dark Knight,
Well, I have no idea, but yeah, the first Batman,
The Dark Knight Returns,
Tim Burton. He was pretty reserved in terms of Tim Burton-ness in that movie, but by Batman Returns, that movie was crazy.
Batman Returns was Tim Burton off the meds.
Yeah, and then when Jerry Bruckheimer took over the series. I mean,
put nipples on the bat suit. That's all we need to know.
Batman Forever made us want Tim Burton back again, even without the meds.
Well, Batman Forever was pretty decent.
Yeah, Jim Carrey was decent as the Riddler.
Which is interesting because they're saying there's a rumor going around that for the new Batman of the Christopher Nolan series, they're going to have Jason Gordon-Levitt play the Riddler, who, as you know, is the love-struck main character of 500 Days of Summer.
What do you know? Okay, new Batman.
No. We still need to talk about Batman and Robin.
I don't want to talk about Robin.
There is one thing I will mention.
I like that film ironically now.
Yeah, Joel Schumacher has publicly come out and apologized for that movie.
I actually really like watching that movie because it's ridiculous.
I think what's funny is like the fact that George Clooney has come out and said anybody that tells me that they've seen the Batman and Robin, he'll like give him $20 or something.
He'll be like,
I'm so sorry. Here's $20.
I'll be like, if you come up to me and you said you saw that in the theaters, I'll pay for your ticket.
I love how every line Arnold Schwarzenegger says in that is some pun on ice and snow.
Yeah.
He's just one cool customer.
You did not kill the dinosaurs? An ice age! Ha! Ha! Great movie. Excellent.
Alright.
The new Batman is going to be another example of a good trilogy, I think.
I agree.
Yeah. Or are they only going to do three, or do you think they could maybe pull off more?
Christopher Nolan said, third one is going to wrap up my story. If they want to do another one, then it's not going to be with my Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Get your hands off my Batman.
My Batman.
But I got to admit, Christopher Nolan has done justice to the Batman franchise.
Yeah. He's only ever made good movies, and I'm looking forward to seeing Inception in July.
Oh, definitely.
I still need to watch The Prestige.
Yeah, so I think we're going to add that to our good story arc trilogy list.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Third movie isn't out yet.
Yeah.
We don't really know anything about the third movie.
Don't even know about it. Wonder what they'll name it. I wonder.
Let's see. Batman Begins. Then there's The Dark Knight, which is one. But the problem is that if they're going by titles, there's only one.
The Cape Crusader.
It's the Cape Crusader and the World's Greatest Detective.
I would not want it to be called the Cape Crusader.
Hmm. Maybe they could spin that, like use that, and have it make another title out of it. Something else, Crusader.
Crusader of the Night.
How about they just call it, like, I don't know, Batman 3?
That's
going Rambo on it right there.
Sylvester Stallone's just walking in the background.
We want to talk about Rambo, but I love the naming convention of the Rambo movies. We have First Blood, then we have Rambo, First Blood 2, then we have Rambo 3, followed by Rambo. which should have been the name of the first movie.
Oh, that's good.
So, okay.
Gotta make a four movie series off of two titles.
Yeah. So Arnold Schwarzenegger had a great run as Mr. Freeze, but
speaking of Arnold, he was also in
The Terminator.
You stole my thunder, Joey. How dare you? I was going to bridge us between Batman and Terminator.
So once again, I'm going to say, even though I liked the third movie, it didn't really need to exist.
I still need to watch the Terminator Salvation. But yeah, I have to agree that the third movie didn't need to exist. However, in some people's mind, the third movie doesn't exist because of the TV series, which the
Sarah Connor Chronicles
was awesome.
And it got canceled, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be honest. I'm going to tell you this. I haven't seen the first or second Terminator.
I think you should definitely watch the second one. And to enjoy the second one, you kind of need to watch the first one.
What sort of sheltered life did you lead?
I don't want to talk about it.
So, Terminator Salvation.
Please don't spoil it for me. Haven't seen it.
It's not really a spoil, but it's an okay movie. It's supposed to be the start of a new trilogy. It just doesn't feel like Terminator because it takes place in the future. And it's, there's like no Arnold.
Was it? Did it still? Well, with the first two movies, it did follow pretty much. The first one followed Sarah, and the second one was following the Terminator. And in the new one, I haven't seen it, but it looked like it just followed Christian Bale's character.
Salvation? Yeah. And there's another main character named Marcus, played by Sam Worthington, who's in everything nowadays.
Yeah.
And, like, somebody needs to give Christian Bale a cough drop or something, because, I mean, there's, like, something wrong with his voice.
I'm not sure there is going to be any more Salvation movies. Like, I don't know if, like... didn't MGM make that? And MGM's in trouble.
Didn't they sell the Terminator franchise to someone?
Oh, I thought they were Fox trying now? To. I don't know. But that may be in limbo for a while. And I know Part 4 is in limbo for a long time. Yeah, so I hope Salvation turns into a good trilogy that ties into the other one. Moving on. Where am I?
Matrix.
We already talked about Spider-Man. So yeah, the Matrix trilogy. I don't know if you use Guy's opinion on the Matrix. Like, what do you think of that series?
I don't know what you're talking about. All I've ever seen is The Matrix Has You.
That's all I know about it.
That's all you need.
No, I've actually seen the Matrix series.
A lot of people didn't like the second one and the third one, and I didn't mind the second one up until, like, the very, very end. And this is after the whole architect part. I was okay up until he started, you know, electricity out of the EMP, out of the Matrix, and has all the powers outside the Matrix for whatever reason. Also, Animatrix was great.
Oh, yeah, the Animatrix is a must-watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Matrix just got really spiritual near the end, and when you...
Symbolism.
Even though the Matrix isn't real, I guess that's how they get away with it. But there's just too much symbolism and things that don't really make quite sense. But it tells a pretty good symbolic message.
And
that
does Powerade logo everywhere.
Yeah, but yeah, like the thing about like balancing out the spirit, the body, and the mind is like the basis of the movies. But that's kind of lost by the end of the third one, where half the movie is just a big action scene.
And it just goes to show you that anybody who's cool wears sunglasses.
Yeah, like by the end of the Matrix movies, like it was almost a parody of itself. I thought.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, but there's like a, if you listen to the commentary, they have some falafelsers.
Falafelsers?
Falafelsers.
Falafelsers.
Philosophers that just like adore the movies, but then they also have a commentary track by critics who hate the movies.
You have the big Matrix set that has like 9 discs and all the revisited discs and all the extra features.
Yeah. I do.
Did you watch it all?
I watched a lot of it. I haven't listened to the critics one that like didn't like the movie because I said to myself, why would I listen to a commentary track about people who don't enjoy what's going on the screen? But how many movies do you know of?
Mystery Science Theater 3000.
That's a little different.
Perfect example.
Yeah.
So, riff tracks.
Yes.
A little bit different, but like, how many movies do you know of that they have a commentary tracks where the people commentating don't like the movie? Like, do you know anything? Like, you know anything like that?
I gotta tell you, when the plugin does commentary for the Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, because that's what we were contemplating, I'm gonna tell you that Jamie is gonna be screaming throughout the course of that movie.
That's a little bit different though. That's like a social thing.
Yeah.
If you're a critic and that's what you're paid to do, it's a little bit different.
Oh yeah, I guess. Mm. Yeah.
So Matrix, I think people have different opinions on it.
Yeah.
So. How about that Mission Impossible?
Your segues are too apparent.
I'd honestly like to skip this one.
Mission Impossible, yeah, it's a franchise. I mean, they can make a new Mission Impossible every 10 years, and it's not really the same.
I mean, there's not much we can say about it.
So. Joey, are you dissing my segues?
Was.
What's wrong with my segues?
Because they're all the same.
My segues are flawless. No. How dare you?
No, you're a muggle.
Speaking of muggles. Let's move on to Harry Potter.
Harry Potter is on the list, but I don't really think we can. There's not really a lot to say about Harry Potter.
It's a franchise based right off the books.
Yeah, it's a franchise based on the book. And the books.
Sorry.
And the books had a beginning and an end.
Yeah.
Oh, and hey, look, now we can actually. Here's something we can actually talk about again. Maybe. The Mummy series.
Mummy? Yeah, this is a weird one.
Yeah.
I think the second one was the best.
I thought the first one was the best.
I thought I don't know.
I thought the Scorpion King was the best. I'm kidding.
Oh. That's just sad, doesn't
it? Yeah, this is a franchise series. It really didn't need to exist past the first one.
Yeah. I thought the second one seemed a little bit, not forced, but like they threw stuff in there.
Yeah.
The Mummy series is one of the big highlights on the downfall of Brendan Fraser, because his career started going. His career peaked with maybe the first one, and then as it started going down, each movie got, you know, you could see you could see each step he was falling down with each movie.
Well, I mean, the third Mummy movie didn't really have anything to do with anything in the series. It was just kind of.
It was cry-worthy. That's what it was.
And again, it was an okay movie, but was it a good Mummy movie? I don't know.
It wasn't even a good movie, period. It was just horrible. I sat through that movie. I was like, I just wanted to die. It was, I don't know. I was contemplating suicide while watching that movie.
Joey, I'm not sure. Wasn't this one of the few movies I've actually fallen asleep while I was over there watching it with you?
No, you watched the Mummy.
Oh, which one was it? Oh, yeah, it was Nacho
Libre. Nacho Libre.
That I fell asleep during.
Yeah.
Well, that has nothing to do with what
I don't blame you. Resident Evil is it's kind of another franchise series that has a loose plot connecting them all.
All video game movies suck.
It makes money, so they keep
Mario Brothers. It sucked, but you loved it.
Shining example of what could be.
Okay. The Super Mario Brothers movie.
Here we go.
Isn't as bad.
Here we go. Pull up a chair, people. No, the Super Mario Brothers movie is great for the same reason Batman and Robin's great.
No, there's. Let's not go there, shall we? I mean,
I think we talked about this in one of our other podcasts.
Yeah, but actually, I'd like to add something to the list right here.
Yeah.
That nobody else thought of.
Yeah.
The Mortal Kombat series.
It's not true.
No, 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 no,
no,
no,
no, no.
Maybe.
No.
Okay.
No, yes.
RoboCop. I would rather talk about RoboCop than talk about Mortal Kombat. That just goes to show you how much I don't want to talk about Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, nothing to say about RoboCop. They just didn't know what to do with that series.
First movie was awesome. Second movie was okay. Third movie was crap.
A little surprisingly, because RoboCop 2, I believe, was directed by Irvin Kershner, did Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Moving on.
RoboCop 2 had no ending. It had no resolution to it. It was weird. I put Starship Troopers on this list because it was a really cool first movie. Then the rest of them were just right to video.
Now I said this before during the pre-show, but this is a movie that has a lot of potential to be a really good remake. Like with the kind of special effects that we have now, I could see them remaking this movie, and it being like a blockbuster hit.
Hmm. I don't know. It's like, what year was this? This was like 95 or something, 96.
Yeah, something like that.
Would you like to know more?
I'm telling you, it would be great to have another Starship Troopers, but on the same level as the first one, not these crap direct-to-DVD sequels.
I never thought the Starship Troopers movie special effects, as cartoony and stuff as they kind of look, they held up well over the years.
They hold up really well. I actually watched the movie about a year ago, and I was like, I can tell these are old special effects, but I'll be darned if they don't look good.
Yeah. Like, what happened?
So, I put Ninja Turtles on here because I loved Ninja Turtles as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
I got nothing to say about this. And tell me when it's over.
Another example of, even though, like, good first movie, kind of cheesy second movie, but as a kid, I loved it.
Yeah.
Third one, like, even as a kid, I was like, Turtles in Time? This doesn't seem as high quality as the others, Mom.
I'm going to go play this SNES game. It looked better.
Yeah, it's like the turtle puppets just didn't look good.
Wasn't it pretty much, like, somewhat the same movie, at least for the first two? I just remember when I was a kid thinking that after watching all three of them, like, Raphael's the one that gets, like, caught by, like, the bad guys or something in each of them, and that's all I remember.
Well, the first movie is actually pretty edgy and dark for a Ninja Turtles movie. It was kind of based more off the comic versions of them. And then by the second one, they just went all out with, like, the goofiness.
Like, who's everybody going to love? Vanilla Ice. Let's bring him on for a cameo.
So a couple of years ago, they made the TMNT computer generated movie, and now Michael Bay is producing another live action Ninja Turtles movie.
And here's
Here's the thing.
Not too long ago, Mirage Entertainment, people who originally did Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, people who actually owned the franchise, actually sold everything.
Nickelodeon, right?
Sold everything that had to do with anything involving Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to Nickelodeon. That includes the movies, the comics, the video game. I mean, pretty much anything that Mirage had rights to is now owned by Nickelodeon.
So the new Ninja Turtles is going to be live action. It's going to be a kind of a prequel reboot. Which is kind of a
Michael
shame.
Bay, so I mean,
produced by Michael Bay, but
so you know there's going to be explosions.
I really like, regardless of how this new movie is going to be, maybe good, maybe bad. I really liked the Peter generated movie, so I don't know why they just didn't do that again.
They're trying.
Maybe
they're trying to
stand up against. Go ahead. No, you first.
I think that what they're trying to do is literally distance themselves from any of the past Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles stuff, and try to make it a whole new start.
Maybe, but I mean, that cartoon was really good, so I don't know.
Yeah, I saw parts of that, and I was enjoying it.
I mean, it may not be for everybody, but I mean, I thought it captured the characters really well.
Maybe Michael Bay actually enjoyed, you know, the originals.
Hey, Michael Bay, Transformers.
They're more than meets the eye, don't you know?
Don't you know? So, Water 2 is only two movies of varying quality, but it is going to be a trilogy.
And the third movie doesn't have Megan Fox in it, so it's already a step up.
You guys see the quote-unquote actress that's replacing her?
Yeah, that here's the thing. That's classic Michael Bay. Hire a Victoria's Secret model to act in one of his movies.
I mean, for all we know, she's a good actor, but I mean,
actually happening are like, I don't
astronomically
know.
Low.
Yes.
We looked it up on IMDb, and literally all said was Victoria's Secret. I said, no TV, no nothing. Okay.
Here's the thing. With Victoria's Secret models, there's usually not that much, like, going on in the noggin. It's usually they have exerted all of their energy on the outside, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like Megan Fox, like, she became less attractive in the second movie. Like, in the first one, I was like, oh, Megan Fox, she's pretty cute. But by the second one, there's like, oh, she's just all prettied up now.
There's a lot of good points with the second one, but they're all bad points as well.
We did a podcast on that.
Yeah, but... if you want to hear our opinions on Transformers 2, go listen to that one.
Yeah, so I bet in some over scoping way, there's going to be some sort of story arc throughout all the movies, but it's kind of like Michael Bay story arc. So who knows what it's going to be?
It's going to be quality.
I read that. What's his name? Shockwave. It's going to be the villain.
Yeah, that should be interesting.
I don't know who that is, but whatever. All right, Die Hard.
I don't know.
Yippee-ki-yay. I didn't see the fourth movie. I didn't think it needed to exist, though.
It was all right.
You watched it. Yeah, I mean,
I liked it.
It's weird. Like, Die Hard, everything in Die Hard is based off something else.
Oh, what? Oh, wait. I have to say it.
Say it.
Die Hard 3 was supposed to be a Lethal Weapon movie.
Yeah, you said it. Yeah, literally every time we mention Die Hard, he says that. Yeah,
so did you guys hear that this the sequel to like the newest Die Hard movie was supposedly supposed to be a crossover between Die Hard and 24?
Yeah.
And that they were gonna have Jack Bauer in this.
That would have been horrible. That would have been absolutely horrible.
It could have been awesome.
It could have been, but it would have been horrible.
Might have been awesome, but might have been horrible.
You know, I never actually got into 24 at all.
Me either.
First season, good. Second season, stop watching.
Yeah.
Got it.
I got tired of how many terrorist things could be resolved in a day.
So, like, that's an interesting series because, like I said, like, none of the things that they were based off was about John McClane. They just kind of adapted other novels or screenplays into Die Hard movies.
I know I'm full of tangents this episode, but back to 24.
A tangent is not a transition.
I'm not transitioning. I was going back to 24.
I was playing you out.
Jeez, Dustin, you're not like the music at the Academy Awards.
What would you like to talk about 24?
Okay, I was going to say...
Please tell us.
Okay, you know how the TV show, supposedly like an entire season of 24, takes place within 24 hours. Now, would that mean you'd have like a part where like Jack Bauer's like, oh man, I gotta go to the bathroom. You're standing outside like the bathroom for like 5 minutes while he does that
during the commercial breaks.
Because there's like 50, it's like, yeah, actually there's not 24 hours exactly, it's like there's like an hour or so not shown.
Yeah, he's like I gotta take a nap, power nap.
they like pan out and watch Jack Bauer falling asleep.
Oh, but I have to watch the next episode of The Office. I'll put Jaws on here because the series just got ridiculous.
Progressively worse.
Yeah.
Jaws 3D is... Oh my god, that... Even before the Nostalgia Critic did his thing on it, that movie... People knew how legendarily horrible that movie was.
You know, they want to make a new one in 3D. Another one in 3D.
Of course they do.
Because all that turned out.
They made Deep Blue Sea, and I figured that was better than Jaws 3 and Jaws the Revenge. And probably Jaws 2 solely for the fact of how Sam Jackson's character died.
Deep Blue Sea is one of my guilty pleasure movies.
Oh, yeah.
It's just fun to watch.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go.
I think with Jaws, it made the same mistake that Jurassic Park 3 made, where it the first movie wasn't really about the shark killing people. It was about the Officer Chief Brody, and the shark killing everybody was just the catalyst, where the rest of the movies, when I can remember, after blacking out after watching each of them, was it's just kill, 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 and that's it. I think in the second one, they actually sea helicopter lands in the ocean to try and rescue people, and the shark actually manages to flip it over and eat the pilot.
Hmm.
So, what's so good about that? Yeah, I know it's ridiculous.
It's like Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus.
Well, except no, because
no, because that movie was genuinely That movie was genuinely horrible. That movie tried to be as camp as possible and completely and utterly missed.
What do you know? It's a sci-fi channel original movie.
Not all.
It was Asylum.
And no, it was the Asylum. Don't blame sci-fi for this one.
Well, here's the thing. I blame sci-fi because sci-fi is notorious in the fact that any original TV movie that it airs is terrible.
The exception of Taken, which was that was miniseries, but I mean Taken was good.
Taken was surprisingly good.
Yeah,
it had no business being that good.
Speaking of Taken,
you're horrible at that.
I think I'm purposely.
I put a Planet of the Apes on here. It's going to be rebooted twice in its history.
Of course, Tim Burton almost put a large nail in the coffin of this series.
Wait, guys, can we have a moment of silence for in memorial of the movie that was directed by Tim Burton? How terrible it was.
I actually really liked it.
Joey. We'll just have a moment of silence. You can talk.
I thought it had really good makeup, and I thought
it had good makeup.
Had good action scenes. And I liked the story it was telling. It had a weird ending. I didn't like it.
Well, apparently,
it wasn't unwatchable. Yeah. I could put it that.
The ending was apparently closer to the actual books that the whole series was based off of.
Yeah. So the original Planet of the Apes movies went on for 5 movies, but it still ended up kind of fulfilling its own prophecy in a way about like what happens to Earth and the apes. I mean, not all the movies were good, but and they're actually going to be remaking. I forget what the name of the movie was, but it's the one where all the apes rise up. That's what the new remake is going to be about. It's going to be about that portion.
They're going to remake a different one in the series. That's weird.
They're all conspiring in the zoos. They're like
Revenge of the Planet of the Apes.
I gotta tell you, remake
Conquest of the Planet of the Apes is one they're remaking.
Oh, Conquest.
Or reimagining, I should say.
I mean, it's just too. Just
I don't know. I think that has a lot of potential.
I just
think it's a little weird that they're remaking like the 4th movie in a series, and it's not going to really be related to anything.
You pitch that to the executives. Hey, we don't want to remake the 2nd one or the 1st one. We're going to remake the 4th one.
Apparently, all the monkeys are going to be
CGI. You have a gift, my friend.
okay, this is the ultimate trilogy. Lord of the Rings.
I've promised myself that I am not going to watch these in excess anymore. I'm going to wait a year in between each time I watch it. So that way, the movie never loses its novelty to me. So. Oh.
Lord of the Rings pretty much is just one movie stretched out over three movies. That's really how it is.
Yep. They're all filmed at the same time, so I mean.
Yeah. So I guess you could say this is the essential trilogy then. Yep. Yeah. What you did, anyway.
I mean, they had the whole thing planned out, so we can't say. I don't think they did a good job with the story arc. Because that's all it is.
They pretty much. This is probably the definitive movie trilogy. I don't see how.
The only thing you can compare it to really is Star Wars, because I think that's what defined the trilogy.
And now they're trying to expand it by making The Hobbit, which I'm not sure how that's going to work out.
The Hobbit. That was the only book I could read, so I'm actually looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Guillermo del Toro isn't actually doing it anymore.
Oh.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah, and
he's going to be like a producer or something, but he's not going to be directing anymore.
Which may be okay, because if he's a producer, he could be one of the guys just funding the movie.
Yeah.
And tells the director what to do.
But I mean, like MGM, I mentioned this before, they're not in a good way right now. Like, what's going to happen to this movie, I wonder?
We'll just see. It'll probably.
But wasn't it New Line Cinema that's doing The Hobbit?
Well, that's the studio, but MGM is the one like producing it and like funding it and all that. So
that's the reason the James Bond series is currently suffering a bit, which is a segue into James Bond.
James Bond is a series that's been going for what, 20 movies?
I think it's 23.
23.
And they've been consistently good. I mean, there have been some blunders. I mean, I think we can say that any of the movies that had Sean Connery in them were good. And
Lazy B.
I liked Daniel Craig. I think he's so far he's been a very good Bond.
I can't stand the Roger Moore movies. Not because of Roger Moore, it just seems that those ones are just have a lot of the stupidest elements in them.
They remind up like the James Bond movies, like we said, is basically up in limbo now.
Yeah.
Like they're not. There may not be another Daniel Craig James Bond movie. So.
It was such a strong reboot too, so it's kind of sad to see it go.
You never know. It's like it might come back. It just all depends on when MGM gets out of this rut that they're in right now.
I was torn on the
MGM doesn't, but MGM doesn't. Oh wait, do they? It was Sony who did the last two, but then the rights went back to MGM.
Yeah.
And like, and then they're bankrupt now. So. Good on you.
All right. Well, let's hope that they get back up on their feet.
Otherwise, I mean, pretty much. It's MGM going is going to be one of the last great one of the MGM has been around since the beginning of probably the beginning of film.
Yeah, they've been around for a long time.
And see them go would be pretty much just be a travesty.
All right, Star Trek.
I gotta say that the new Star Trek is phenomenal.
Absolutely. J.J. Abrams, he
is the new Steven Spielberg. I have said this a billion times. Yeah. I will say it again. He is the new Steven Spielberg.
Star Trek is kind of like three series now. You have the original movies, you have the next generation movies, then you have this like reboot of
the new universe.
Which I guess technically can be tied in more to the original series.
Yeah.
Because of Leonard Nimoy.
All the same characters.
I applaud J.J. Abrams for not managing to piss off any Trekkies in the making of this movie.
Yeah, that was a fantastic job of rebooting it without actually rebooting it.
And here's the thing. And here's the thing. If you like the prime timeline, you can still go play around and mess with that. You just got to do it outside of the movies.
Hmm.
In fact, this is probably the reboot was probably the best thing because now we can get all these movies and games and stuff based in the original timeline and not have to worry about it.
Yeah, exactly.
So I was at the store and I saw like one of the movie collections. And one of them was the Star Trek trilogy, which consisted of Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, then the next two movies.
The Return
Search
of
Spock.
Search for Spock,
and The Voyage Home. Because...
Which is the one where they save the whales?
Voyage Home.
Voyage Home.
That was the end of the story arc that began with the mission in part two and then ended with the Voyage Home. So it kind of has its own self-contained story within this series, which they call the Star Trek trilogy.
Yeah. And J.J. Abrams is... Oh, sorry.
And then we got Star Trek V, which... Star Trek V, The Search for God.
it's interesting now because J.J. Abrams is working on a new Star Trek movie, and he's saying that he's contemplating bringing in William Shatner for as like a resurrected Kirk.
What?
Which I don't understand.
You hear that?
First of all, William Shatner, I mean, he's kind of let himself go.
He was pushing in generations.
I don't know.
Don't bring back Kirk. He's the old Kirk.
Chris Pine doesn't need another Kirk around. And I think we lost Mark.
I'm back.
So how about?
I don't know where you heard that, but he was actually supposed to be in the reboot, but I guess his scheduling or whatever couldn't make it.
Yeah. So
Mark,
how about
do you have anything to say? Mark, do you have anything to say about Star Trek?
Loved it.
Loved it. I mean, like. What about, like, all the movies as a whole?
All the movies. Well, I was always a bigger Star Wars fan when I was younger. So I think when I was younger, all I saw was The Voyage Home. And, yeah, I think that's it, other than...
There's another example of this is more of a franchise series.
Yeah, definitely.
It's had its good movies. It's had its bad movies. And then it had Star Trek V.
And I'm on the same boat with you, Mark. Like, I was never really into Star Trek at first. But then I saw the new one by J.J. Abrams, and I just, like, I was really impressed.
I always liked the original series. So, or they didn't like the TV series, so I wasn't a huge fan of it, but it was a good watch.
I've always been a fan of DS9, but, I mean, this is a bit, we're getting sidetracked, so let's...
Yeah.
So how about that Rocky?
I put Rocky on here because even though the movie series is 6 movies long... of a varying quality. It still tells an overarching story really well. You guys agree?
Yeah. I actually haven't seen a single Rocky movie.
Oh.
I'm sad to say.
I'm not very cultured in the fact that I've seen many Rocky films.
Especially in the first 3. It tells a good story about how Rocky was the underdog in the first movie. And he was fighting the champ. But by the time the third movie comes around, he's the champ. And there's another underdog wants to fight him, and he kind of lost sight of what made him great in the first place. And then the 4th and 5th movies are kind of their own little thing. But like the newer one, Rocky Balboa, is a good ending to it all, where he has to contemplate on his life and kind of forgive himself for the mistakes he made and stuff. So that was a good ending.
And then there's Rambo.
I put Rambo in here because it's Stallone again, but I don't think I have much to say about Rambo, except for the names.
He betrayed the Lao. We
talked about earlier.
And now we get to the movie series that a lot of people think went
doesn't die.
On.
Why won't it stop? It's just
please,
too much.
I want this series to end.
I know.
I think it is going to end, but in like 4 years. Pain. I think it's like after Saw 10, we're done.
Yeah, so this is the Saw series, which kind of started this whole new trend. It kind of reinvigorated this whole trend of Bourne.
Of relentlessly making sequels to horror films. It's just horrible. I mean, wow. Why do they need to do this to us?
Well, I think go ahead.
Well, this isn't about Saw, but continue your Saw thought, and then I'll go off to something else.
I think with just the other horror movies characters, it's always been the thing that just keep making more and more and more because they don't really have their story except for maybe the first couple ones in each series. And it's just doing the character and the character and the killing. And with Saw, it seemed it was a lot more story oriented. So it doesn't really mix with the sequel after sequel after sequel after sequel.
Yeah. So I haven't seen any Saw movie. Like, does its continuing story, like, is it any good? Does it make sense?
It ends. The continuing story kind of ends about the third movie in, and then they just go off. Mm.
What this is a perfect example of a film that is like just a money cow that they're just won't stop milking exactly.
Yeah,
they just won't stop milking it.
It has no budget, and each one except for the last one has been really successful. Like, I think the last one was actually the first one that didn't have a strong opening.
There's actually, you know what, I'd like to bring up it's not really a series kind of, but it kind of is, like the various blank movie series, like Date Movie. Like Beat the...
It's like a National Lampoon, like, just keeps putting the name on there.
Well, no, that's not National Lampoon. That's different. These are different movies.
That's what I'm saying, like National Lampoon, date movie, American Pie.
They didn't do, National Lampoon didn't do date movie. Date movie is something
else. That's what I'm saying. Those are all examples of it.
But yeah, like the...
All the blank movie ones, weren't those written by, they always pushed as like two of the guys who wrote Scary Movie because Scary Movie was like the only good one.
From the guy who had an idea in Naked Gun 3.
but what were their names? I can't remember.
I don't know.
I can't remember whichever Abram Zucker guy was working on Scary Movie 3, I don't think. Because those guys did, you know, Airplane and Naked Gun and all those old ones. Good spoofs.
Yeah. And these are just phoned in, and they're horrible movies, and you should feel horrible for.
They don't really make those anymore, do they? Like, I haven't really heard about any more parody movies.
After the aptly named disaster movie.
they exist solely just to I think they cost between $10 and $20 million to make, and they can make $20 million easily.
Yeah, and that's all. They just need.
People go into the movie theater and watch it, you know, walking out halfway through.
That's a perfect example of what is wrong with movies. It's just like, you shouldn't just make a movie like with just a really low budget, make a terrible film, and just so that way you can make money. You should have a genuine story in mind.
That's where we have the conflict between it being art and it being an industry.
Yeah, like people know they can. Like, a studio knows they can make a stupid Larry the Cable Guy movie, make it for nothing, and it's going to do mediocrely at the box office, but it's going to make enough to make it worth it making it in the first place.
What about the Sex and the City movies?
Which movies?
Sex and the City.
Oh, you just lost your man card for even saying that.
You shouldn't even know that movie exists.
And the fact that there's two of them.
Heard part two bombed pretty hard, and like all the fans didn't really like it.
Dustin, I'm just gonna mute your mic right now. I'm not gonna listen to you.
Okay,
there we go.
And so we don't like
can't do that.
We're talking about Saw.
Like,
we're talking about Saw, and like that's kind of like a tradition of horror movies, like Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street. We just kept on making them.
Yeah,
never ending.
But at least Saw seems to be kind of the same people involved.
But my love for making this series is like my quiver of arrows, never ending.
I put Avatar on here because James Cameron says he wants it to be a trilogy. We'll see if it happens, though. I know they're definitely going to.
And he also says they're not animated movies either.
Whatever.
Technically, they're motion capture. They're partially animated.
Yeah,
but the thing is, he just doesn't want it. He just doesn't want them to be in that animation age ghetto.
Definitely, I do want to say.
James Cameron is very stuck up. He's like, oh no, they're not animated movies. They're live action.
They're go animated live action. there probably will be an Avatar 2, more than likely.
I do want to say about the Avatar sequels, I think they'll definitely be better than the first one, because the first one was they probably put all their stock into coming up with the technology and just did the very, very basic, very easy to follow a storyline to make that money back. Now they can focus on good script.
Yeah, even though this movie made a bajillion dollars, I think they need another movie just to make use of all the assets they made and make it be worth it, you know? But
imagine how much the box office is going to be for the sequel.
It probably won't be as good. I think hopefully it's a better movie.
It probably won't be hyped up. It's definitely not going to be hyped up as much. Like this first one was, and everybody who didn't enjoy Avatar or thought it was a very average movie probably won't go see the sequel.
Well, I mean, my opinion is average movies don't become the number one movie in box office history. So people must have really liked it.
Okay, the last movie, James Cameron seems to have this weird ability to make ungodly popular box office movies.
And yeah, like I have faith that he won't make Avatar 2 unless he knows it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's end this with which is the subject of our next podcast, more unlikely. We'll probably talk more about it there, but Toy Story.
Which is a very good series.
The third movie is going to come out next week, actually, so.
Yep.
By the time you're listening to this.
Yeah.
Yeah, like by the time you listen to this, it's probably out already.
So if it's a bad movie, we're sorry.
Yeah. So let's not really talk about it, because I think we'll talk about it during our review podcast. But,
and we've also talked about the various series that Pixar has done.
Yeah, so we did Pixar. So it's just ended there. Is there any other...
Well, I gotta say one thing. Has anybody seen that group on Facebook that says, "Step out of the way, kids! I've been waiting 11 years to watch this movie."
Oh, yeah, that's the great thing about Toy Story is when these movies, when Toy Story 1 came out, most of its audience that are going to see Toy Story 3 were kids. I mean, like I was, like 11 or 12 when Toy Story came out.
Yeah,
so like, even though I'm a big fan of Pixar movies now, like I just want to see this movie so bad because it's my childhood.
Yeah. Did you notice that, like, okay, me and Joey went to go see Toy Story 2 when it was in theaters. Did you notice that there were a lot of adults in that theater along with the kids? Like, not
same,
just
same with Up.
Well, that's because the parents need to take the kids there.
Yeah.
But I mean, more so than with, you know, what I thought was
okay, so I think Richard is about to record his own podcast.
No, it's okay. They're actually not on yet. But it's funny because you remember last year
we
when we did the
wait we lost someone.
That's right, we'll add him back.
Okay. Yeah, calm down, Dustin. Jeez,
solve the podcast.
We leave no man behind. Oh. But I was gonna say
he's coming back.
If you remember last year with when we had that whole Pixar podcast and we had Casey on and. We were talking about like just the series and how it like all these different Pixar movies, and then we got to WALL-E, and then like none of us really understood the plot for it or just kind of like the overall message to the film. It's funny. I listened to it again. It seemed like we kind of just bypassed that a little. Like we tried to like.
Well, I think because if you want to really talk about the plot of WALL-E, you kind of have to go more in depth with it.
And yeah,
we're just kind of out of time.
But I was gonna say I finally understood it.
Yeah, tell us about WALL-E.
Okay, sure. this is gonna be the most wild tangent of all time.
That's all right.
But I'm gonna talk about WALL-E for a second because I finally understood it.
Okay.
So, excellent example of what WALL-E is about is when you go on an infomercial and you see all of these different kinds of technology that people have invented to simplify life. You're basically you got like those random like toothpaste things that help squeeze the last couple drops of toothpaste out of a cup. You've got those machines that are like touch activated, so that way the faucet turns on, so that way you don't have to turn on the faucet. Well, all of that technology is by simplifying our lives is taking our lives away. And in the end, in the future, 700 years in the future, we have a robot who is a product of that, has now become more emotional than humans.
Becomes more human than the humans that created him.
Yeah, exactly. Because humans are constantly trying to make their lives easier. And so... Yeah.
Exactly.
And humanity is at its best when it's being challenged.
Exactly. Not when they're just sitting down on their ass and watching.
And that's why I love WALL-E so much. People take away, oh, is this a message about the environment? But no, it was a message about about humanity losing itself and rediscovering itself. That's why I love WALL-E so much.
Yep.
All right, Mark is having some connection problems, so let's just end the podcast here.
Let's try and get him back so we can say goodbye.
I was, but you're breaking the illusion of control here, Dustin.
Well, everyone who's ever listened to this podcast know we don't have any illusions here.
Mm. All right, if you want to contact us, you can do so at josephlfrog@gmail.com. You can find all of our Twitter names in the podcast feed. I am Joseph_Elfrog. Dustin is DustWatts. Then we have Rich, what's your Twitter?
It's just Richard Farrow.
Richard Farrow.
Yeah. And, you know,
Mark.
FERRO.
I'm the Fedora.
The Fedora, and it's all in the podcast feed. Please send us an email, give us your feedback, tell your friends. I'm still looking for ways to kind of expand the audience. I think the new site and the new cartoons will help with that.
Joey, you should have listener challenges.
Explain, Richard Farrow.
Okay, you do something that kind of lets your fan base go out there and kind of do something, and you end up you reward them somehow. What I did for my podcast is that we had when the iPad came out, we had them go to their local Apple store, pick up an iPad, open up the iTunes page of the plugin, and then have them take a picture of themselves holding up the iPad with our iTunes page open, and then post it online. And
then leave it there and get yelled at.
Yeah, you know, just like send us an email with it, or, you know, post it on our Facebook page, something like that. So, you know, like you're kind of, I don't know. It's,
yeah, like one thing we can do is have it less about just us talking about stuff and hoping other people enjoy it, is actually have the audience be a little more involved.
I just had an idea, and I'll talk to you about it after we cut. After.
Not that we're not happy with the way this podcast is, but sometimes I wish I had a bigger audience.
Are we going to make two more of this type of podcast just to, you know, make a trilogy of podcasts?
our next podcast, we'll talk again about trilogies, and then we'll do it again.
I'm not happy, just so you know. I would like to be paid to do this.
I have my own trilogy, the One Ring to Rule Them All trilogy.
Oh, yeah.
Indeed.
Let's talk about that for an hour.
Which then tried to launch another trilogy, which failed.
Yeah.
We talked about that, remember? We had that like that whole like hour and 40-minute thing on my show.
Yeah,
that was fun.
I'd like to make a challenge. I'm not gonna. I'm just gonna say I challenge the viewers. Everyone has a spare Xbox wired controller that they're not using. I kid.
What? I challenge everyone to press that donate button. All right.
What donate button? Seriously.
I challenge you all to listen to my podcast because we need viewers.
Yeah, Richard Farrow, the plugin, plug apostrophe N.
I think that's probably the reason I don't have that many viewers is just because of how I spell that podcast. It's because like people will be like, oh man, I listen to this show called The Plugin, and they'll type in The Plug IN,
yeah.
And they just like, if I can't find it, where is it?
Well, can you do like keywords and have the plug in.
That's true. You know, I could probably do that.
And Mark, thanks for coming on.
No problem. Glad to be here. Always fun to talk about movies.
Yeah. Hope to have you back. Maybe for the Toy Story one.
I'll definitely be seeing that.
Yeah. And we'll all reunite for Toy Story for our love of Pixar.
Indeed. All right. Indeed.
Yeah.
All right. See you, everyone.
Bye bye.
Enjoy your YouTubes.
Enjoy your internets.
That's my slogan. Yeah. Enjoy your YouTubes.
Seriously, guys, y'all have a nice night. Or nice
keep
day.
Cool.
Or day.
Yeah. Seriously, keep cool, guys.
Don't do drugs.
Stay in school, drink guys.
Drink your drugs and stay in milk.
Thank you, Dustin. Now I know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Da-da-da.